Praise the Lord. Well, it's a beautiful day, isn't it? Amen. So, we've just come off a week. Several of us in the church were involved in camp this week, and we had a good group of kids. And so, I wanted to share with you, so you might consider this report. And I forgot to ask Katrina or Mr. or Bill, Alicia, anyone, or Jack, if they wanted to say something. So, guys, I'm going to give you an opportunity if you would like to share something. Why, sure would like for you to do that. But we had is. Do you have a picture there, Brother Bill? This was our group this week, right there. Might be kind of hard to see. It's not real bright, but we had 70 campers. The Lord honored what we've been believing for. This is our third year of Grace XP Camp, and so we our first year we had 65 campers. Last year we had 67 campers, so we did grow, and this year we had 70. So, you know, the Lord's honoring that, and it's just growing. We thank God for that. And this campground, thank God, we're going to be there again next year. So that's the first time since we started we're at the same place 2 years in a row. But this was a beautiful campground. The manager was so grateful. On the second or third day, doesn't matter which, he pulled me aside and he said, "I sure want to tell you something." He said, "I don't know that you all realize what a good thing you have here." Now he has his campground scheduled for every week through the summer. And so he had this 1 week open for us last year when we were looking for a better facility. Went to this place, he had this 1 week open, and he put us there. So it's a tremendous deal. But he pulled me aside and he said, "I want to tell you something positive." He said, "Our fellowship of churches have 30 churches in the four-state area." And so they're kind of, they go as far as Berry, Arkansas. Berryville. As far as Berryville, Arkansas, and quite a ways that way and quite a ways. Anyway, in the four-state area, he said, "We do good to get 30 students here." And he said, "And I was watching your service last night," and he said, "You guys kept them for 2 hours. Well, Thursday hadn't happened yet. We were in the tabernacle for 3 hours, just soaking in the presence of God in such a tremendous Holy Ghost way. But he said, "Our camps, we do good if we can get 30 here." But he said, "When we take them down there to the service, it's like tough. It's like pulling teeth to get them to stay there." He said, "They want to wander off in the woods and go to the pool and just, I don't know what they make them do. I don't know." But he said, "These kids respond to you when you talk about the Lord." And he said, "That just doesn't happen here." And so then the next night, we went on for 3 hours. It wasn't scheduled for that long, but the Holy Ghost just did some powerful things. And I wanted to share some of that with you. So this was on Thursday night, the next slide. As I shared with you last week, this is what our campers are going to hear this week. And so we have a daily theme. And we started Monday night, which we just present to them the gospel and the love of God so that anyone who are there hadn't accepted Christ yet will be saved. So that's where we start. And the theme is welcome to the family. On Tuesday night, our theme is eternal forgiveness. And it's to remove in their hearts and minds all condemnation. From their hearts and minds so they can receive all that God has in store for them. And miracles will happen in an environment where there is no condemnation. So then on Wednesday, our theme is our identity, who we are in Christ and how we got there. That our identity is His identity. That is from 1 John 4:17, that as He is, so are we in this world. So campers, you're righteous. You are holy. And you are perfect. You are complete. We're just showing these scriptures what the Bible says, who they are in Christ. And then, so on Thursday, we felt like the three pastors who had the vision for this camp felt it very important that we hold to the truth of the whole Bible, including the book of Acts. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, its gifts, and all the authority that God gave believers. You may not know this because you may not be so well connected with different what I call, or what many people know as called grace camps. When I say grace camps, I'm not talking about a youth camp. I'm talking about a camp, meaning a certain set of beliefs. So there may be a camp in that part of the United States who is a little different theologically than this one over here, or that one down there, or this one here. But there are several different groups. We call them camps, grace camps. But the one thing that remains all through them is that in the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ, He took away the sin of the whole world. And there can be some differences among the grace camps in that area, or in all other areas. So one of those is that where they depart from what we hold to is the book of Acts, in that the signs, wonders, and miracles are still valid for today, and not only valid, but that are necessary. We believe that, guys. We believe that. We don't see anywhere in Scriptures that God has fulfilled some kind of time in which the gifts of the Spirit are no more needed. That we don't see in the Scriptures that shows that there is a particular time that is reached in our lifetime or in the experience here, as long as Jesus has not returned to the earth for His physical establishing of His kingdom, that casting out devils is no longer valid. There are some grace camps who are saying that is all unneeded. However, my experience, even before coming into grace, is when you get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning, say, hey, something's going on in my house, and it's scary, but I don't know what it is. So you go over to that apartment, and this woman is completely overtaken by a demon, and you know it's a demon because either experience or the Scriptures. If nothing else, it's because the hair is standing straight up on the back of your neck. you know that there is a spiritual element going on here. Now, if this is all just psychological or physiological, when you rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus and tell it to leave, and it leaves, no one can convince me that casting out devils is not necessary for today. It was necessary for her because she was tormented. She needed to be free. Amen? So that particular time, this woman had a long history in Native American witchcraft arts and was into it, and through her mother and her grandmother, so had a long history. But that night she was made free. I want to tell you, this is a real deal, this Holy Ghost thing. So we felt like that it is important that we hold to this truth that campers, when you receive Jesus, when you receive Christ, you have been enrolled in a family, and that family's heartbeat is the Holy Ghost. It's the power. The life of the Christian is the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember this? In Acts chapter 10, verse 30, I think it's Acts 10, 38. Bill, can you just bring that up there? I didn't get you any because I don't have a printer here today, so he's not prepared with all these verses. I think it's Acts 10, 38. New King James, maybe. I'm going to come back to this picture, though, here in just a little bit. So while he's going there, we still have it on paper, right, with us? Yeah. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. I like what one version says, all who were harassed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, this is an incredible passage because it shows us that Jesus, in His human form, had to have the Holy Ghost to have the power to do the miracles that he did. Did you realize that? Jesus didn't cast out devils and heal people and do all the other miracles like turn the water into wine. He didn't do it because he was God. He wasn't able to do it because of his godness. Philippians says that he emptied himself of all of his godly privileges. So he emptied himself, becoming fully human. And so when you become fully human, if you're going to operate in the supernatural, that is going to have to be provided from a supernatural source. So this says God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. The things that we observe God doing that are powerful, the source of that, of course, is God, but God works through the Holy Spirit to do those deliverings that He does, or the healings that He does, or whatever. The power that eventually is seen by our natural eyes is performed by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, having emptied Himself of all His privileges of being God or privileges of deity, had to be anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing what? Doing good. That's why we can say God is good. What Jesus did was good. And he never went anywhere, Jesus never went around cursing people or punishing people or condemning people and say, I'll just give you cancer. Or here, come over here, I'll just break your leg. Maybe you can learn a lesson. See, God does not do that. We need to remember that God does the good stuff, the devil does the bad stuff. Let's not get those confused, okay? The devil does the bad stuff, God does the good stuff. And of the bad stuff that the devil does, God can powerfully reverse and get glory for that, amen? I've heard it said by some people, well, I'm just in their sickness, I'm just suffering for God and I trust God, get the glory. No, God doesn't get the glory from your sickness. The devil does. God gets the glory in reversing that thing. God gets the glory in the healing of that. Hallelujah. So we glorify God in all the work that He does through the power of the Holy Ghost. So He went about doing good and healing. There wasn't anything He couldn't do. You know, cancer is not any harder for God to heal than a headache. Not one thing, not one bit tougher. He said, healing all who were harassed by the devil. Now, see, look at that. There are people who need healing, and it says, who were oppressed by the devil. Sickness and disease is a demonic oppression. It's from the devil. It's not from God. So God came on the scene where all the oppression was taking place to reverse it. It says, for God was with him. Hallelujah. So God the Holy Ghost anointed him. He was Jesus' anointing. God the Son was there. He was the physical vehicle of this. And God the Father was with him. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. And then you might remember that Jesus said to his followers one day, he said, the things that you see me do, you will do also, and greater than these things you will do. That's pretty good. Hey, listen, Thursday night, Brother Greg Reether from Tulsa preached, and it was one of the most powerful yet simple messages. I thought, well, anybody can preach that. It wasn't deep theologically or nothing. He was just talking about how when we have received Christ and we are in Christ and Christ is in us, we are sons of God. And this is I'll never forget what he said. It stuck with me and it will to the day I die. He said, when God's sons pray or speak, it is impossible for nothing to happen. Let me say that again. He said, because of who we are as sons of God, it is impossible for nothing to happen when they speak or pray. And he gave an illustration of one of the very first experiences. He was with a congregation of his people, and there was a woman who had been deaf all of her life in her left ear. The bones, you know, there's little small bones in your ear that vibrate is what makes that hearing possible. And he said the bones were just not even there. So these people wanted to pray for her. They've been getting a hold of this power of God, and they laid hands on her and declared her healing. And he said, it happened just as I thought. Nothing. Nothing happened. She still was deaf. Do you all remember who heard that, how long it was? That was on like a Sunday. It was on Friday.
A couple weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks, wasn't it? Something like that. I believe it was on a Friday. And he gets a call from the lady who was deaf. Have I been saying blind? Thank you. The other day, a couple months ago, she said, honey, you kept saying the wrong word over and over and over. I don't remember what it was, but if I need corrected, babe, correct me. I don't want to stand here looking like an idiot. So, you know, obviously, if you can't hear, that's deaf, not blind, okay? So she called him and she said, Pastor Greg, I'm talking to you on my phone. With my left ear, with the phone to my left ear. He said, what? She says, I'm healed. I hear direct. I have perfect hearing in this ear. And he just went on to say how in the world that surprised him. But it took 2 weeks for that manifestation. But he went on to bring home this point that when God's sons pray or say, it is impossible that nothing will happen. Boy, that grabbed a hold of me. And now, we're talking teenagers here, 6th grade through 12th grade. And you think that they can get a hold of this? Well, at the end of the service, end of the preaching, was just given time for response and prayer. And so if you'll show that second picture, Brother Bill, this is what happened. The kids congregated around some people up there that needed prayer. And I was watching more towards the back, and Pastor Bill Hackworth got out of his front pew there and come around and got a couple people that he knew needed to have prayer, knew they needed prayer. And so he asked them if they could pray, and they went. One was a counselor, a woman from Shawnee, Oklahoma. And they started praying over her. Now, I'm Facebook friends with her, and I know that in recent months she has been diagnosed with some kind of cancer. I didn't know what it was. And that she was taking chemo and she was given a report from here, you know, from time to time about how things were going. So those kids are praying for her right there in this picture. And I'm standing about where this picture was taken from, so I don't know who snapped that picture. That wasn't me, but I'm standing about right there. And all of a sudden, this guttural growl we heard. Now, I never thought anything about it, but I just thought, well, that's kind of strange. I should have picked up on that, but I didn't at that moment. And I heard it 4 times, one right after another, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then there was some shouting and commotion going on there and excitement. And then yesterday, the next morning, she is forceful. I need to share what happened to me last night and about this morning. So she came up and gave her story about what she was diagnosed with and that every morning she wakes up with swollen ankles. And so
for months,
she said, this morning, there was absolutely no swelling. It's the first time I saw my ankles in the morning since February. But there's more to say here. But she said, there's no pain and there's no swelling. She says, I feel great. And then yesterday, she goes a little bit more into her testimony. I want to share this with you as she posted it on Facebook. She says, my name is Robin Blatchford Bolin. I am a member of Grace Center Church of Shawnee, Oklahoma. The Lord came to me 4 years ago and sat at the edge of my bed and told me he was giving me a spiritual blood transfusion. I quit drinking cold turkey. No withdrawal, no desire was there anymore. That's a pretty good recovery program, I'm telling you. You talk about 12 steps, the Holy Ghost can do it in one. Amen. God's program is pretty good, a one-step program. Hallelujah. Woo. No desire was there anymore. See, not even the desire, she said, was there anymore. I obeyed his words and grew. I first attended Grace XP Devotional Youth Camp in 2017, so that was last year, was her first time. At that time, my feet were swollen so bad they looked like memory foam and hurt extremely. Nurse Quinn Dennis would give me ice packs and ibuprofen to help. She stated then it did not look good. I have not worked since September of 2017. I was at my job for 19 years. I kept getting more sick and more sick, and on February 28th, they did bone marrow test. I was diagnosed with CML stage 3 bone marrow cancer and am still currently on chemotherapy. I've gotten vascularitis, neuropathy, and liver failure. I was determined to go to camp for the youth regardless of my health. I have a passion for kids, especially for troubled kids who have experienced dysfunction in some sort. The last night there, Pastor Bill Hackworth asked if I would allow them to pray for me. I gladly accepted. He was praying for me as well as the rest of the kids there, everyone down to the children. So we had several small kids. Boy, they just got right in. They were up there around there praying as well. As they laid hands on me, I started shaking real bad. As the Holy Spirit was in and surrounded all around me, I started growling. There was something in me that did not want to come out. So I spoke to the Spirit and told it to leave. It was not welcome in my body no more. I felt it leave and immediately started bawling. And I looked up and asked Pastor Hackworth, "What was that? A demon or something?" He looked at me, just smiled. Just before that, I looked down and seen Charlotte praying and crying at my feet. I remember thinking, this is how Jesus felt with his mother at the cross. I was swept up into the clouds, laying so peaceful in a peaceful place. I could never imagine or try to explain. I turned and saw Michael Wilson, he's another pastor there, standing there. I hugged him and cried like a baby and asked him what just happened. Then I saw another camper and said, "Hey, welcome to Grace." I looked, oh, where did it go? Forgive me, but I hate Facebook sometimes. Okay, I'm going to get this back up here. Okay. Come on, Lord. I'm going to get it, guys. I apologize. I was... Can I see that?
It's right there. I looked at my
feet. Okay. I looked at my feet, and all the swelling was gone. The pain was gone. Now, that was while she's standing there. All the swelling was gone. The pain was gone. And then I slept like a newborn baby, and when I woke, I thought it was a dream. Immediately, I looked at my feet, and there was no swelling. I had ankles again. I worshiped and praised him for what he has done to me. My doctor called and said, "I need to go Monday to see a liver transplant doctor. I can't wait." Now it went dark. "I can't wait to see the look on their faces when they test me again and say my blood is flowing through my liver and throughout my body. I will not need the transplant. There is so much more to my testimony, but this is long enough. My Father has been with me throughout my life. I will leave you with this. Ask and it will be given. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will open. He is alive, living in us." Wow. She said she felt that thing leave. And Bill. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. Praise God. That is awesome. Bill told me, he said, we were praying for her, and then the Holy Spirit rose up on him, and he quoted a verse that I have quoted till I'm blue in the face. You might be getting tired of it, but it's 1 John 4:17. I never thought about a passage like this, this passage, being so hated by hell that it would drive a demon from a woman's body, when it said, and as he is, so are we in this world. So he was speaking to her. I could hear him from where I was speaking that to her. He said, Robin, you are as he is right now. Man, can you realize the power? Jesus is not sick. He took all of our sickness on the cross and paid the penalty for our sins, so we are not to bear any more sickness or disease. That's what we speak to our bodies. That's what you speak to other bodies. But the devil could not take that. And he says, as I was saying, Robin, as he is, as Jesus is, so are you. And then he said, that's when the growling started. And she made that confession, taken authority over her own sovereignty in Christ, and that thing lived. Powerful, I tell you. Now, so the Holy Spirit is moving, and I need you to remind me of something. Remember the generations of Christians, and tell me that. Okay, generations of Christians. Because I want to tell this first, but I don't want to forget that. On day one, at our orientation, well, as kids are checking in, as the groups are checking in, one of the youth pastor's wives approached Mista and said, we don't want to point this girl out, but she has a severe food allergy. And we don't want to point her out, but she is very severe, so that after a person eats eggs or whatever she's allergic to, cannot touch her because it can make her sick. And she said, I need to go to the snack shack. She needed to see everything that we sold to make sure that there was nothing in there that could hurt her little girl. And she gave an example. My daughter can eat Laffy Taffy, wasn't it? The big ones.
No,
well,
she ate the little ones.
Oh.
She could only eat the small ones.
Oh, could only eat the small ones and be fine with that. Of course, we didn't have that. She's just telling this as a story. And be fine with it. But she bought a bigger one.
It was the youth group said, oh, she likes this candy, she can have. There's so many things she can't have. When they find something she can, they like to treat her with it. She can have the little ones. Let's just get her a big one. This will be a great treat for her. And they didn't read the label because they thought it was the same. Do you want me to go on?
Yes.
So she went and started eating that in the car on the way home. And in just a few minutes, she went into an anaphylactic shock. And they rushed her to the hospital. She almost died. And it was because they used something a little different in the big one. Even what they seal the packaging with can affect her. She had a long list of everything. And so that's how dangerous it was for her to be at camp. She brought her own food. We had to store it in a separate area from the rest of the food. Everything had to be washed down so that no, even just a cook cutting something and then picking up something of hers can make her deathly ill.
Guys, that's not right. That's not from God. And so while we're around there, the Holy Spirit prompted me, let's pray for her. God's doing stuff. It's obvious. Let's get this thing on the boat. Amen. And so we found her. Now, this youth pastor's wife said, we don't want to point her out. Her husband, the youth pastor, is in charge of activities. So when he's talking about activities, why then he says, I want you to meet Grace. And here's Grace, and so she was pointed out, but at least it was her own youth pastor that did that. And so we ask everybody, when we leave the cafeteria, get a good shot of hand sanitizer. So, you know, and these kids were wonderful. They were wonderful, helping this young girl have the best experience possible at camp. So the Holy Spirit just prompted me, let's pray for her. So we brought her to the middle of that crowd, and the word of the Lord came to me about what Jesus said in Matthew 18:18. He says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. NLT says, whatever you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven. Whatever you allow on earth will be allowed in heaven. Did you realize that we have such influence on heaven? And then Jesus said in his teaching on prayer, as we are to pray, that we are to declare, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are to bring heaven's power to earth whenever we pray. And that is what is happening. All of a sudden, what Greg was preaching came to life, that when God's sons pray and say, it is impossible for nothing to happen. So these kids just joined together, and we started praying over her and rebuking, you know, disallowing this to go on. It says in 1 Timothy, and I read it to the young lady, where Paul wrote to Timothy, and there are some who are saying, and it's a doctrine of demon, he said, some are saying that we cannot eat certain foods, but all things were created by him, and all foods are good to eat because they have been sanctified through the word of God and prayer. And I said to little Grace, I said, Grace, you're walking in fear because of all this stuff, and it's understandable. But tonight, God says, he made all of this food for you to enjoy. God wants you to enjoy this food. And so we began to pray, disallow that, continued to go on, and she just was emotional, and she was just touched by God. And that's as far as any kind of manifestation that we witnessed there in the prayer time. The next morning, I'm getting up and getting a cup of coffee, and all the kids are still in their dorms, and this young girl's pastor's wife, she approached me and said, Brother Cecil, have you talked to Beth, her youth pastor, her youth pastor's wife? I said, no. And she said, early this morning, Grace said to her mom and to the youth pastor's wife, I feel so at peace. Mom, here's what we're going to do. When we're going to go home, we're going to go back to the allergy test, and they're going to see that I am free. And she said, Mom, I have no fear. I'm not afraid of any foods right now. Because while we were praying, we were rebuking that spirit of fear and disallowing it to have any effect on her. Did you know that fear is a spirit? He told Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a what? A sound mind. Grace has a sound mind because she is healed. She's not afraid anymore. I just believe she's going to have a clean slate. I believe Robin is going to come back with a report. Hey, you got your liver transplant back on Thursday. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I want to show some things. Go to the next slide, if you will. So when this testimony came out, I got a text. Again, this lady, Robin, she's made this public. That was a public post on Facebook. And so I received a text from somebody who said, so was this Robin lady, was she possessed? Now, I've really never approached this subject, and so I felt like it's a good thing to do, to approach this subject, is that can Christians be possessed with the devil? Can Christians be possessed with the devil? Because this woman obviously had gotten saved. She had experienced the miraculous power of God in her deliverance from alcoholism. God, she heard the voice of the Lord speak to her. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And she heard the Lord say to her, I'm going to give you a spiritual blood transfusion. She was delivered from alcoholism, not only the alcoholism itself, but she given her testimony, even the desire for it. She has no desire. I'm going to tell you, when the sun sets you free, you're really free. Now, when AA tries to set you free, you're once and always an alcoholic or an addict, right? You're always recovering. But when God does it, you have been recovered. You are free and free indeed. Praise God. But here's several things that I want to share. Generations. An older minister shared this with me more than 20 years ago. And he said there are four generations of Christians. And he's talking about the powerful miracles that were manifested back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, such as that. And he said that is the first generation Christian when it comes to personally experiencing the power of God. We have some elders here who have experienced those things and heard stories of those things as well. What he showed was that there are first, second, third, and fourth generation Christians. And here's what he shared. He said that first generation Christian who experienced the power of God in miracles will die for what they believe in. They would die for what they believe because they have experienced firsthand the manifestation of the power of God to heal, deliver, and do miracles. If the next generation does not experience the same power of God, they will merely believe it. They won't die for it, but they will not deny that it took place if they don't have that same experience. A third generation Christian not having that same experience will not die for it. They, if at all, will believe it. They will begin to doubt it. Maybe that didn't really happen. Maybe mom and dad were off the rockers and maybe grandma and grandpa were just plumb crazy. And so if they don't experience have the same Holy Ghost experience manifested experience in the Holy Ghost, they will begin to doubt it. The worst one, unfortunately, is the fourth generation Christian who will not only doubt it, but they will deny that it even happened. From dying for it to believing it, to doubting it, to denying it. Now, I'm going to tell you, it was extremely important for this manifestation among these kids because they're the ones who are being brought up with the true gospel to the cross of Christ, the finished work, and they're going to take this world by storm and they're going to have an experience in the Holy Ghost so that the same thing that God said about the apostles said that when they went out and preached the word, the Lord working with them in signs, wonders, and miracles. Hallelujah. We are in a great place today, guys. Let's not let negativity overtake our mind and think less of this generation and wonder what in the world, man, this generation is lost. This generation is not lost, guys. This generation, the 70 of them were there, and they are a seed, an apple. And when we release that seed into the world, it's going to produce more and produce more and produce more. I'm going to tell you, this was a very important week. And you know what? You're a part of it because you support the camp and you have worked and given, and thank you all for all that you have done. So for the remainder of the time, I'm going to talk about this subject. Can a Christian be possessed by a devil? Now, what I would like to do is share with you something wonderful that I learned from Brother Pop Hagen. We call him Kenneth Hagen is his name, but call him Pop Hagen. He's gone on to be with the Lord. His son pastors the church that he started in Tulsa. But Pop Hagen was one of my mentors. Never met him, but I had his library. And he had many experiences and was a great teacher. And here's what he said. He does approach in one of his books, can a Christian be possessed by a demon? And if not, what's the manifestations? And if so, what about that theologically? And so this is the greatest thing that I learned from Pop Hagen, is that we don't need to care so much about who's possessed and who's not possessed, because if they're not a Christian or they are a Christian, they need delivered. They need healing, okay? And here is the word that he used, that I use, and try to keep from any division and theological wrangling going on is if someone has been influenced by a demon, we just simply say demonized. No matter what level that control might be or whatever, that person is demonized and needs to be set free. So, though no one said anything to me, I can hear this question coming up. It's very close in that text that I got. So, are you saying this Robin woman was possessed by a demon? Well, at the very least, she was certainly demonized in some way. By her own words, she said, "I felt it leave." And when it left, after manifesting through the growling, didn't want to go, she was healed. So, we need to understand that at least, I'm not saying all because I'm not an expert, but I can say that some sicknesses, some diseases are a direct influence of the devil. And no amount of medication or psychology help can help, because it's a spiritual thing that is going on, and it is only by the power of God that that thing can be driven out. Does that make sense? So I want to show you, I've taught on this before. One of the things I think is important is for us to see how we are made, that we are trichotomous beings. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. That slide is not on there? Oh, okay, thank you. Well, if you can imagine three circles, I guess I forgot to click save. Sorry, Bill. Imagine three circles. One circle is the spirit, another circle is the soul, and a third circle is the body. Now imagine those coming together, converging to where at some point there is an intersection of the soul, the spirit, and the body in one. The way I understand scriptures and the way many of my mentors have taught this is that where the soul, the spirit, and the body are coming together, because we are human, but we are trichotomous. This starts in Genesis when God said, "And let us make man in our," plural, "image, and after our likeness." So just as there are three in the Godhead, one God, but three in the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, so are we made that way, body, soul, and spirit. One person, but three parts. So we are a spirit, we have a soul. The soul consists of the intellect. The spirit is the spiritual part, but then there's the elect, or the intellect, the soul, the mind, the will, our emotions. Those are in the soul area, and then obviously in the body. So Proverbs says, guard your heart. Now this is, if you can see that intersection of spirit, soul, and body coming together where this one part, all three are layered there, that is seen as the heart. Now Proverbs says, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Another version says, guard your heart with all diligence, for everything you do comes from it. So our hearts is what is guiding and directing us. Now, this is so important. If you can, hang with me on this. What we know up here, we will do intentionally. We will make up our mind and we will force ourselves to do it. It's discipline, if you will. We make ourselves do it. That's not the way our heart is. What this thing does, or dictates, or causes us to do, if you will, we do it intentionally, and it is done on purpose. What happens here is what we do accidentally or naturally. Whatever is your natural response, whatever your automatic response is, there is where your heart is. The Word of God says, guard your heart then, because out of it are the issues of life. Alcoholism is a big issue, but it's not an alcoholism issue. It's a heart issue. Out of it are the issues of the heart. See, and people have tried to deal with frustrations and tragedies and abuse and all kinds of sinful, harmful destructive behaviors by drinking. It is because they need their heart healed. If a person's healed in their heart, a wounded spirit that is broken, there's many manifestations in their mind, in their thinking, in their speech. And when all that happens, it also follows through with their body, their behavior, how they live, and things that they do in their body. So imagine those three circles intersecting, and there is our heart. Now, I'm going to try to say this as briefly as I can. So let's talk about the spirit part. That's who we really are. And what we have become aware of in the last several years is that 1 Corinthians 6:17 or 6:13 says that he that has been united with the Lord is one spirit with Him. Okay? So our spirit is the Spirit of God. We are united with Him, and it is because He has absorbed us. We have taken all of Him to be us. In other words, the reason we are holy is because Jesus is holy. The reason we are righteous is because Jesus is righteous. The reason we are free from punishment for sin is because Jesus is free from punishment of sin. God is not going to judge His own Son again. He did it once for all time on the cross. That's why the Scripture says we are blameless. That's why He says we are faultless. That's why the Scripture says we are perfect. That's why it says we are redeemed forever. Our spirit is one with the Lord, and the devil cannot possess that. There is no fellowship between darkness and light. Our spirits cannot be possessed. I want to make that clear. It is possessed by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God Himself. God Himself. But there's other parts of us. Now, with the soul part, which is the mind, I just want to relate to you a story that a vision that Pop Hagen had. He said, I've seen this many times. And he said, so I'm just teaching it how I see it. But what he said was that little demons look like monkeys, okay? And he said, it blew my theology when I thought that a Christian couldn't be possessed, which you can't, he said. However, they can have an influence on your mind. And he said, a woman came forward to pray one time, and he said, there was a little demon. The Lord just opened my eyes with His hands in her head, in her brain like this. And he said, I just rebuked that thing, commanded it to go, and it left. And she came back to her right existence, her right-mindedness, sound mind. And I will just say this. Several years ago, I meet, that's kind of changed as a group, but met with for years with some Southern Baptist pastors in this area. And one of them was a pastor at one time out here at Split Log Baptist Church, and he said, guys, I got to tell you something. And he said, I was in a revival over at Exeter. And he said, the pastor and I and some men were praying. And he said, I felt an evil presence. And he said, I've never dealt with demons or anything like that. He said, but I could tell there was an evil presence. And he said, I looked up, and it's dark outside, and there's a window there. And he said, I'm telling you guys, you can believe me or not believe me, think I'm crazy, but there was a monkey there at that window. And he said, something rose up inside of me and commanded that thing to go. And when that thing left, that feeling, that evil spirit left, that evil presence, feeling of that presence left. And he looked at me and he said, what do you think, Brother Cecil? So I told him the story about what Pop Hagen shared, what I saw. Okay? So these things are real. In Mark chapter 16, the Bible says, Jesus is recorded as saying, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples. And then He said, and those who believe will cast out devils. He's never changed that. He's never changed that. I want to take you to one other passage, and I want to show you this from the Scriptures. Go to Luke chapter 13. And verse 10. Luke 13:10. Now he, obviously this is Jesus, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. Everybody say that. A spirit of infirmity. Yep, that's New King James. That's what I'm reading out of. And there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no ways raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." What an idiot. What an ugly man. Here, this woman has been set free from being hunched over for 18 years. She could not stand up. But what was the source of her condition? It was not a medical, physiological condition. It was a spirit of infirmity. And he just made a declaration. See what happened here? He did not even, this is what I saw in the scripture I'd never seen before until after Thursday when Bill said what he said. I'm going to come back to that. But he never spoke to the spirit. He didn't say, "Leave this body." He made a declaration over her, and as the Son of God, just as you and I are, now we're not deity, but we are sons of God. And he said, "Woman, you are free from your infirmity." Just like Bill said, "Robin, as he is, so are you right now." The power of darkness could not take that declaration coming from the mouth of a son of God. And it is impossible. Thank you, Pastor Greg, for saying that. It is impossible for a son of God to pray or say and nothing happened. Hallelujah. And the Son of God said, "Woman, you are made free from your infirmity." Then he just lays his hand on her and he doesn't speak another word to that demon or nothing. He just speaks. And guess what happened? The power of God, with a declaration of his word, the truth, and a touch of his hand, she stands up and that spirit of infirmity is gone. Hallelujah. Now, I'm certainly not an expert. I don't know when something is really a physiological situation or what is a spirit, but it doesn't matter because Jesus is the healer and deliverer. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. What did Jesus say? He said, "Woman, you are loose from your infirmity." Now, here's something that I just wanted to draw a line on of clarification. He did not say, "Woman, you are healed." He said, "Woman, you are loosed." There's a difference between being loosed and being healed. Being loosed means you have been freed from a direct demonic influence. Okay? Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes a healing of the body needs to take place. But guess what? It doesn't, one way or the other, isn't too big for God. He'll either loose you or heal you, one or the other. But here's what I hope to be able to leave with you today is what I picked up that Thursday night. Boy, that was a Holy Ghost statement when he said, when God's sons pray or say, it is impossible for nothing to happen. Even if it's 2 weeks later and the woman calls you and said, "Hey, I'm talking to you and I'm listening to you from my used to be deaf ear." Hallelujah. Wow, that's powerful. We had other testimonies of Grace XP Camp, different ones. You know, this is a big deal among generation today. And it's so frustrating when you turn on television because today's secular society promotes this. But it's gender confusion. Gender confusion. That's big among our young people. And we heard a testimony this week of a girl that was gender confused. And you know what? She came to camp. She heard her identity is not that. And she was delivered just like that. Praise God. No longer struggling. Hallelujah. She was an introvert. She had very low, let's use this term because you know what I mean by when it's low self-esteem. But when she learned who she was in Christ, she was no longer an introvert. And now she led worship at camp in front of God and everybody. Oh, wow. It's pretty hard to be an introvert and be a worship leader. Amen? You know what? God is at work and He is alive. He's still saving people. He's still delivering people. He's still healing. And whatever God will do for those kids who will simply believe, He will do for you and me. Hallelujah. I am very encouraged about this generation because as our torch goes out, their light is getting sparked and it's getting brighter and it's going to go further. Hallelujah. They have more ability to get this message out today than we did when we were growing up as kids. Part of it is technology. These kids are learning how to use technology to glorify God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. What do you need today? Robin said, I spoke to that thing. She said, I spoke to that thing. Get out of here. You're not wanted here. And you're not allowed. And that thing left. Declaration of the Word of God over her by Pastor Bill, by her exercising her own authority and said, you're not wanted here anymore. And she was healed just like that. I'm going to tell you, God will not do anything for them that He won't do for you. God is no respecter of person. And faith is for everyone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.